उत्तिष्ठ जाग्रता प्राप्यन्वरान्निबोधता चूरस्य धारा निशिता तुरात्यजा दुर्गं पतस्तात् कवयो वदन्ति. The Vedas very clearly state, arise, awaken, you have now obtained an elevated soul, a spiritual master as your preceptor. Learn the spiritual truths from him. Then they also say, the spiritual path is difficult to traverse, for it is like a whetted razor's blade. The sages say it is beset with thorns. The spiritual path of Krishna consciousness is what has brought us all together. Although we do come from different nations, some of us are from Kerala, I suppose, from South India, but there's also a mix from other countries or states in India. Some of us are from South Africa, Germany, and even we have a Frenchman, s'il vous plaît, amongst us. But we are all coming together today as one big family, because we all have heard the call of Lord Krishna in our lives, and we have responded to this call, and now we are on this panta, this path which is very difficult to attain. We have obtained a road which is called in Sanskrit Urdhvapundra, the road which leads upwards. Those who are spiritually minded, they know about this road, and they know also that it is very, very, very fortunate for a soul to be able to be placed on this road. In the Vedas it is described that this Urdhvapanta is different from all other material roads, from all other material endeavors which we have made so far. I believe that to be an Abu Dhabudi, or
you can call it, we are calling as Avatari Desh.
Ah, you have saved my life. To be an Avatari Desh is a very favorable position in order to go on this road of spiritual advancement. Because when we are in Avatari Desh, I was telling to our Giri Vara Dhari, we clearly have an understanding that this is not our home. We have this understanding. It is in the midst of a desert, in a jungle made out of concrete building materials and glass and steel. The glass and jungle, glass and concrete and steel jungle, we are here. And we are coming maybe from Africa, we have worked there, or from India, Some of us will not find work very easily in India because we have been out of India for quite some time. But we all feel our home is really the place of Dharma, Bharatvarsha. We feel like that. Even we Westerners feel not at home any longer in Germany or France or South Africa. We understand very clearly that staying in these places is not our home. Only a person who understands this world is not my home can go on the spiritual path. Someone who does not understand that this world is not his home cannot make spiritual progress on this path. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us the analogy of a wedding party which was in a little unusual circumstance. They were in Bengal and they had to catch a big ferry boat to go to the village where the wedding was supposed to take place. The muhurta for the wedding was 7 o'clock in the morning, so the party of the bridegroom had to catch a boat and drive throughout the night in order to reach in time for the wedding. Naturally, they came in the evening to the ghat and told the boatman, please row very ferociously, row very fiercely, so that we can reach in the morning. We will sleep and while sleeping prepare ourselves for the marriage. So they were all going to bed, resting. In the morning they hoped to be in that village upstream. The first one who woke up in the morning was a little boy, like our little boy. Your good name? Krishna Kinkara Prabhu. And we can just imagine this little boy was rising up. He looked at the bank of the river. Are? The boat had not moved for even 1 meter. And the little boy alarmed everyone. We are still at the same spot as in the evening. Bridegroom woke up. Oh, what is with my marriage? And he immediately went to the boatman. Boatman, I told you to row very fiercely and very ferociously. But you have slept like us. The boatman said, no. And they showed the hands. It was covered with these signs of heavy effort. We have rowed the whole night. But why have we not moved? Said the bride. And he gave. And the boatman said, we have no idea. Then they were looking and looking and looking. And finally they found the anchor was still in the ground of the river. The anchor had not been removed from the riverbed. So someone then with the anchor still in the riverbed, all the effort was in vain. Not even 1 meter had been covered. So similarly, if we think this material world is our home and we are very happy staying in Maya, in the illusion, then we can make so much effort. We can celebrate Janmashtami with great effort. We can come together. We can even chant japa, go to satsang with great effort. But if this understanding is not clear, that we are Amrita Putras, children of immortality, children of God. Our home is in the spiritual world. Then we will always keep the anchor tightly connected with the world, and our effort will not bring us very far. My dear devotees from Avatari Desh, oh good, I don't have to learn this new city name. My dear devotees of Avatari Desh, please understand, Avatari Desh is not your home. Hare Krishna. Our Mataji looks shocked. Home is where you can find ultimate shelter. Home is where you can find ultimate shelter. In the United Emigrates, you cannot find ultimate shelter. This is confirmed very solidly by the melodious bell ringing at the right time. Thank you for installing this melodious bell. Today, my dear devotees, I will talk a little bit about some philosophical concepts, but I will make it easy, because it's evening and we have all worked the whole day. You must know that the human being is a being between two worlds, so to say. Therefore, I'm saying we must really be clear in our minds what is our home. In the scriptures it says there is the Antaranga Shakti, the kingdom of God, or the internal energy of the Lord. And then there is the Bahiranga Shakti, that is the energy of the Lord which manifests the vast material creation. The living entity is neither Antaranga Shakti, nor is it Bahiranga Shakti. The living entity is in between. It's called Tatastha Shakti. Tata means in Sanskrit that part of the ocean which is neither land nor water. It is sometimes land and sometimes water. Have you been in the ocean, at the ocean side here? Yes? There is this little stripe of land where the children like to go and run. Sometimes the waves are coming, then it is water. When you stand there, you can say truthfully, I'm standing in the ocean. And then when the waves are going, it is land, and you can say, I'm on the land. So in the same way, the Tatastha Jiva Shakti, Tatastha Shakti, is in between the spiritual world and the material world. That means sometimes it can be covered by the material energy, but at other times it can be free of the material energy and be a resident of the spiritual world. Clear? Our boys? You also understand? Yes. So it is up to us to choose whether we want to be in the material world, if we want to be material people, materialistic people, or if we want to be in the spiritual world and want to be spiritual people. It's up to us. We have this freedom of choice which is called our greatest wealth, our greatest treasure, our greatest jewel, more important than all the gold in the gold market of Damodar Desh, Hare Krishna, and Avatari Desh together. We have a gold market here also. Yes, our Medinipati has purchased today golden rings. Yeah. Yes, cleverly used the opportunity. So all the gold together of this world cannot and can never equal the Svatantra Ratna, the jewel of freedom, which you have to decide: do you want to be a materialistic person, fully under the control of the Mrityu Samsara Vartmani, the wheel of birth and death, or do you want to come out of the control and be a part of Lord Krishna's eternal spiritual energy? See, you must know, it is not the purpose of the human being to toil and work like slaves to eat. At the moment of your birth, the amount of food which you consume in this world is already predestined. It's written on your forehead. Krishna Kinkara will consume in this life 85,000 tons of food. If that is the amount. I have never made a calculation. It would be, do we have a mathematical engineer here? I think it would be an interesting experiment to weigh the food a person consumes during a day and then multiply it with the days of his lifetime and add it up and see how many tons. It must be a huge quantity what we consume.
I have a calculator.
You have a calculator. Can you do the calculation? Let us say 80 years is an average. And our Mataji is your cook. How much kg you one eat a day? It depends. Average person?
5 kilos.
5 kilos? No.
1 kg.
Prabhu, this is too much. Prabhu, what is your weight?
1 kg?
1 kg.
Every day 1 kg?
Every day 1 kg? Sometimes 1.5.
1.5.
So let us say 1.3. Because sometimes festivals are also there. And, yes, our Matajis are satisfied with this calculation. It is different. You are laughing at me. This is a serious calculation.
Because 38.9 tons.
38.9 tons.
Minus
Ekadasi. Minus Ekadasi. Yes. But most of we of us eat like anything on Ekadasi. So this amount is written with your birth on your forehead. What is also written is the name of your wife or the name of your husband. It's predetermined. The amount of sukha and dukkha. And the time of your death. We were discussing this very confidentially in our car ride. Yes. These things are sure. They are there. And therefore it is not or never the duty of a human being to work like a slave for these things. They come automatically by nature's arrangement. The human being, tatastha jiva, has the opportunity to enter into this kingdom of God by making use of the jewel of freedom, the Svatantra Ratna. It is very sad to say that modern civilization is not knowing about this precious ability in the human life. Every day you have the freedom of choosing, will I think spiritually or will I think materially? Every day when you take your japa mala in your hand, you have the freedom. Will I think of Krishna? Will I hear Krishna's name? Or will I think of the shopping list which I still have to fulfill? No? You are smiling, King Karadas. Yes. Yeah. Every day, this freedom of choice is given with us. Let us not misuse this opportunity. Vedic scriptures have different stories to make us understand how we should use our freedom of choice. One story is of the eagle. There was one Brahmana, yes, and he was taking his meals and he was thinking of something. When he was finished with his meals, he forgot to wash his hands. So one eagle, female eagle, you know what is eagle? Yes. Was flying over this Brahmana, and she saw he's not washing his hands. Kali Yuga. And in great disappointment, she lost her egg. She was so frustrated, he's not washing his hands. The egg was falling out of the mother eagle onto a heap of something where there were some chicken. It was there were some Muslims who kept some chickens. And the egg was there. And one chicken who for some biological reasons could not get a child, could not get an egg, saw the tremendously big egg and went on top of the egg and started to develop motherly affection and breed the egg. After some time, the very unusual chicken came out. He looked very ugly for all the rest of the chicken because he was a young eagle, correct? So the chickens first thought maybe we should kill this unusually ugly chicken. They did not know it was an eagle. But one wise chicken said, let us see. And as the chicken grew up, it developed its wings and became very strong. And all the other birds of prey, they are called, were seeing the young eagle amongst the chicken and were not attacking to kill chickens and to rob the chickens. And as a result, the chickens felt very protected. The young eagle grew and grew and outgrew many of the chickens. And it became very, very strong. It ate the food, the chicken fruit from amongst the chicken stool. It was living and feeling very sad. One day it went to the wise chicken and said, my dear chicken, I sometimes feel the craving to So to fly in the air, the Vaishikan said, don't entertain these thoughts. You will fall. It's so high. You will fall on the ground and break your neck. Don't have these unnatural thoughts. And the chicken said, okay, it's an unnatural thought. And not the chicken, the young eagle said. And he lived, much like the soul who has forgotten his identity and who lives amongst the materialistic people, having forgotten, I am a free soul, a part of God. Just like the soul is very, very sad because of having forgotten his natural identity. That eagle was very, very, very sad. One day, the same Brahmana came, who was the cause of its upbringing amongst the chicken. And he saw the chicken. Not the chicken, the chicken eagle. Or the eagle chicken, or however you would call it. And he thought, he is the king of the birds. He should fly. What is he doing amongst the chickens? And he went to the eagle and he said, fly, eagle, go, leave this chicken. Don't take your food from amongst the chicken stool. This is not worthy for you. But the young eagle just looked at him, not understanding. Then the Brahmana thought, I will help this eagle. He took the eagle up. He went on top of one nearby building and he just threw the eagle, hoping that the eagle would open its wings and start to fly. But the eagle had so much forgotten that it is actually able to fly very smoothly in the sky, that it just fell on the ground and made one very, very miserable sound. Kikiriki. Oh, I have reached the intelligence of my youngest audience. Hare Krishna. I'm very happy. Then, at that time, the Brahmana thought some other measure must be taken. He took the head of the eagle and said, eagle, I want to help you. You are a free person. He took the head and the head in such a position that the eagle was forced to see the sun. And as the eagle was looking into the sun, it was making for the first time in his life the noise or the sound of the free eagle. And started to use its wings. Oh, it was painful in the beginning. It was very painful. But with more strength and more strength, it used the wings. And soon it was starting to fly. And then it was up in the sky, flying very freely. This is an analogy, and I hope all of us will profit from this analogy. We also, like the eagle, have forgotten our Atma Gyan, our knowledge of who we actually are. And we live a life under the clutches of the material energy. We live like the eagle in chicken land. Hare Krishna. And we live like the eagle in chicken land, eating the food of the eagle in chicken land. But if someone comes, takes our head, says, my dear child of eternity, Amrita Putra, why are you suffering needlessly in this world? And he takes our eyes so that we can look into the Krishna Surya, to the Krishna sun. A sweet memory comes to us and it agitates our heart. It moves our heart, this memory, and we feel a yearning for the spiritual world. This happens when we take darshan of the deity, when we go to Balaji and Tirupati. A sweet feeling enters our heart, an excitement. We see the Krishna Surya before our eyes. And this longing and yearning, which has so long been forgotten, this longing and yearning burst forth very beautifully. And we want to go the spiritual path. This also happens when we have satsang. When we come together and chant Krishna's holy name, this feeling enters our hearts. Oh yes, yes, I remember. I have so long forgotten. But some sweet feeling of sweetness is coming. You must have had this experience. Huh? And this sweet feeling is nothing else than the voice of our natural soul. I want to use my freedom. I want to use my Svatantra Ratna, the jewel of my independence from this material world. I want to be free. I want to be with my Lord. Huh? Is this, am I saying something which you have experienced? It, we feel this, a longing. And this longing, my dear devotees, is our greatest treasure. This longing is a sign that utishta, utishta, yes, we have awakened. We may be still a little drowsy. Oh, where am I? Like today, I was in the house of our Nilesh Prabhu, not Svayam Spurati Krishna Prabhu. I was in his house and I saw his very spacious library also. And I was feeling very tired because we are every day up till 2 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping and then a time came where some slight awakening was there and I was, where am I? What is this? Are we Dubatsky? I was not clear. Or am I in Bulgaria? Or maybe I'm in Sweden at this moment? Or maybe I'm in Germany? The state when you just come at a place you have never been before, you wake up, and then, oh no, I was just taking this most exquisite upper preparation. I'm in Avatari Desh. This came. We had today this most exquisite upper preparation. I was remembering it with happiness. Upper? Was it? Apam, yes. So yes, this yearning when it comes into our heart is a sign that we are awakening. Utishta, utishta, jagata. No? And we should be very, very glad about it. My dear devotees, my dear children, bacha, Krishna Kinkara, you are listening. Good. How can we maintain this utishta state, this awakened state, where we feel this yearning in our lives, which will bring us closer and closer to the Krishna Sun? My dear devotees, in order to maintain this feeling which we get during satsang, during darshan, and so on, this awakening of our spiritual identity, we need to know one simple technique which I was starting to explain yesterday in Dubai. It is, we need to know how to draw the spiritual circle around us. You have heard the term Lakshman Rekha?
Yes.
You have heard.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you again, I am now for a moment no longer Sachinandan Swami. This is no longer Avatari Desh, and you are no longer people who work in Avatari Desh. We are in a Vedic village, in India. I am a storyteller, Puranic storyteller. I will dress now like a storyteller. And I will tell you a story to bring out a concept. I have my tambura with me. When Lord Rama was banished to go to the forest, Lakshman and Sita accompanied him. They went to Chitrakoot, where they made a wonderful little ashram. On the way to Chitrakoot, in one particular forest, they met the sister of Ravan, Shupanak, who felt extremely attracted to the beauty of Ram and wanted to marry Ram. But this was not coming about. Instead, she was disfigured and she went back to Ravan. Ravan, my brother, the most beautiful of all women is staying in the forest. And Supanak, with evil intention, described to her brother Ram's beauty, but also Sita's beauty, because she felt only because Sita was married to Ram, therefore Ram did not marry me. Sita must be removed and then Ram is free and I have my chance. Very foolish. So she told so many things about Sita to Ravan, so that at the end Ravan was burning with calm. And he thought, how can I get hold of Sita? He discussed with Marichi, a sorcerer, and they made an evil plan. And together they went before the ashram of Ram. Marichi took the form of a golden deer and played before Sita. And Sita said to Ram, Ram, see this golden deer. Please bring it to me. Ram said, it's a demon. It's an asura. Yes? Let us ignore it. But Sita wanted so much to have a playmate. Life in the forest was difficult for a young queen, a princess. So finally she convinced Ram to go after this deer, and Ram was following it. And finally he thought, enough of this. I know it's Marichi, the demon. And he took his bow and he shot into the heart of Marichi. Before Marichi died, he was saying in the voice, or shouting in the voice of Ram, Sita, Lakshman, please help. Then he died, like you have played so beautifully. So then Lakshman heard this, Sita heard this, and Sita said, "Lakshman, have you heard your brother is calling for your help?" "No," said Lakshman, "this is not my brother. This is a demon who wants that I leave you. But Ram has said I should guard you no matter what happens. He has forbidden me to leave your presence. I must protect you." When Sita heard this, she said something which should not have been said. She said, "Lakshman, if you do not go now to help Ram, I will assume that your heart is full of calm for me." This should not have been said. But out of worry, Sita said, out of love. So it is understandable. When Lakshman heard this, he blushed and said, "Mother, how can you say this? I have never looked into your face. I only look at your lotus feet. How can you say, now I have to go, being driven by your very unjust words? But Sita, before I go, I will draw this circle of protection around you." He took his bow. He made a wonderful circle around the ashram. And he said, "Never, never, never ever leave this circle. As long as you stay in the circle, you are safe. When you leave it, you are unsafe." So then he went. The moment he left Sita, Ravan came. And he approached the hermitage of Ram and Sita. Then he thought, I will talk with Sita. She should come, forget this Ram. He's only a human being. I'm the Lord of Lanka. And if Sita would not come by his words, she would certainly have to come by his force of his arms. But as he came closer, only 30 centimeters left the border of the Lakshman Rekha is there. Hare Krishna. I am a storyteller. At that moment he was thrown back, and his mustache was burning and smelling from hair, burnt hair. Very powerful protection. Immediately understood, I can't go to Sita like this. So he went back in the forest and took the guise of a sannyasi, dress of a sannyasi, and he went, and just 1 meter before the Lakshman Rekha, he pretended to fall on the ground from weakness, and he said, "Please, Bhikshu Devi, give me food, very hungry." Sita was distraught with thoughts. She came out of the hut and saw this ascetic sannyasi who was lying there. She brought some fruits in a basket and brought it. Here was the Lakshman Rekha. And here, what is your name? Where Nima is, there was the sannyasi. She brought the basket of fruits here and said, "You please take your meal, your prasad." But the false sannyasi Ravan said, "I cannot move, I am so hungry. You must bring the fruits here where I am lying. Cannot move 1 centimeter. "No," said Sita. "No, no, I cannot move. Never ever I can move further towards you." Then this Ravan said, "If you don't give this food, I will die, and I will tell everyone Sita has killed me." This was too much. Sita came out of the Lakshman Rekha, and immediately the false sannyasi is, "Ha ha ha! You are mine! I'm Ravan!" And he, it's a long story, he kidnapped. And Mother Sita. The Koma Purana says the real Sita stayed inside the Lakshman Rekha. It was only a Maya Sita which went through the fire of the Lakshman Rekha and came out like a puppet which we will find in the cloth store. It is not a real woman or a real man. It is only a representation. Because how can Ravan, a demon, ever touch Mother Sita? It is not possible. But for now, let us stay with the simple version. My dear devotees, every one of us, also Nimai and Kinkara Krishnadas, we should know first of all how to draw the Krishna Rekha around our lives, and second of all how to stay within the circle of spiritual protection. This is an art, and today I will teach you a little bit in this art. Because I feel if you learn how to stay in your spiritual circle, your whole life will be different. You will be very, very strong Vaishnavas in a maybe 2 weeks' time when you practice this art. Your own spiritual circle. When is the spiritual circle strengthened? Or let me first of all asked another question. What does the spiritual circle feel like? It's something, I will make it easy, it's something like good health. When you have good health, you can go anywhere. You sometimes can sleep only for 2-3 hours without a problem. You're energetic, you're usually quite creative. But when you have bad health, which happens and you eat too much sabjis and sweets, no, then you become big in size, depressed in mind. Very often you become very unimaginative in your life. When there is a pilgrimage, "Oh no, let the young people go, I stay at home and read newspaper." You know, the health, spiritual health sorry, your spiritual health is something that like this. When you are spiritually very healthy, that means when your spiritual circle is very strong, then you feel inspired, you feel creative, you have no fear, you have no worries about the future, you are highly inspiring for others, and so on and so forth. Have you noticed in all spiritual traditions, spiritual people usually are painted with a circle around their head? Halo. Yes, it is there in the saints of the Vedic times on our pictures. When we paint Srila Prabhupada, we make a little halo around his head. Lord Krishna always has, Radha has. Please look back on the altar picture. You can see some light is there. And we can see when we meet a truly spiritual person, he has a certain influence around him. He looks different. He has a strong spiritual circle around him. I used to sometimes accompany Srila Prabhupada to airports. One time he was sitting in the airport of Stockholm. Krishna Kinkara, where is Stockholm? In which country? No problem. Sweden. Yes, Sweden. So he was sitting there. Prabhupada was sitting there. And people, normal passengers, were passing by Prabhupada. And they looked. And then they bumped into another person. Sorry. I saw two Swedish people, going next to strong Swedish dogs. They had a strong Swedish dog on the line. And they fell on the ground because Prabhupada had such a strong spiritual circle, a spiritual halo around him, that people even who had no information felt touched. The same way we feel when a bona fide sadhu comes into our lives. We feel his atmosphere, his spiritual circle. Like you have, I have seen the pictures of Mahavishnu Goswami, who has come here to Avatari Desh. And I have seen others on the picture who react very humbly. Oh, and they feel something in the heart. Oh, Guru Maharaj. Oh, yes. I will be more good in my spiritual life. Yes. Immediately, when we come into the presence of a devotee who has a strong spiritual circle around, who's in his Lakshman Rekha, so to say, oh, we feel immediately some touch. Therefore, we do this Pada Puja to get some of the spiritual energy. Therefore, we go and take darshan of a sadhu to come into his spiritual atmosphere, into his Lakshman Rekha or Krishna Rekha. This is because we can immediately feel, oh yes, it's like entering an electric field almost. Oh yes, I feel also. Even very, very gross Swedish kamis with strong Swedish dogs on each hand have felt and fallen with excitement on the floor. Shup. Oh, what has happened to me? Yes, this is there. My dear devotees, you also should be able to develop your spiritual strengths. Bacha, only short time. You have been such exemplary child today. Don't ruin it in the last few minutes. You just stay patient and you will make it. No problem. I have full faith in you. You will make it for sure. Sit properly. Like sadhu, yes, and listen. Sometimes you have to say something for the little boys so that they are encouraged. It's important that they participate in some ways. What is about your spiritual circle? What is about your spiritual health, Giri Vara Dhari Prabhu? Nilesh, how strong is your spiritual circle? This is a very important question, which we often ignore. I do not now know the Matajis, so I cannot be very personal with the Matajis. But each one of you, go in your heart for a moment. How strong is your spiritual circle? That means, how tolerant can you be even in the face of adversaries? How much love is in your heart? This is another question. How much bhakti do you feel? Or vice versa. How strong, how weak is your spiritual circle? When our spiritual circle is weak, how do we feel? Very attached. So much karma is there. Yes. For money, for all embarrassing kinds of things. When our spiritual circle is very weak, even if there's a little difficulty, oh, we get so upset. Oh, we get so worried. Oh, we get so mental, distracted, and so on. Spiritual circle. Each one of us has to be strengthened. How do we strengthen our spiritual circle? Well, it is something like, I will give the example of a tire. When a tire should become very strong, we have to put some air from outside into the tire, and then even a little flat tire can become very strong. In the same way, if our spiritual circle has become very weak or is not so strong, we require some outside energy. This we require some what is called bhakti shakti. Now, where do we find this bhakti shakti? Electrical energy, if you want electrical energy, where do you go? There's some plug. Oh, it's not called plug. Plug is a socket. When you want some water, where do you go?
Tap.
When you want bhakti shakti, where do you go? Guru, satsang, shastra, sadhu, nama, sankirtan, japa, Bhagavad Gita, shastra. Yes, but you have said very correctly. Are you going there? When we want the bhakti shakti, we need to know where the bhakti shakti is hiding in this world. It is said in the shastras that bhakti shakti is hiding in its fullness in the holy name. Bhakti shakti is also there in the deity, but when our eyes are covered with Maya, we cannot see. The deity is not visible for our eyes. We see more a statue. In the holy name, when we go to the holy name and chant the holy name himself will make an arrangement to remove the covering of ignorance from the soul. The holy name himself will enter into our heart after freeing it from the Bahiranga Shakti, the external or mayic material energy, and will enlighten our heart. This is a very important concept, my dear devotees. Rupa Goswami, he says that just like a person who is covered with a person who is in material ignorance cannot find the sweetness of the Naam, of the holy name. He will find it boring. We sit together for satsang. Oh, how boring. I hope soon the prasadam is coming. I came to eat and it's getting late. Stop, Swamiji, your lecture. I want to eat now. Yes? Oh, I don't want to chant now. So a person who is covered with ignorance cannot find the name of Krishna is very sweet. Just like a person who has jaundice cannot taste the sweetness of sugar. Who of you had jaundice? I had very strong jaundice. I was so yellow that when I would go to the river to take my snan, people would run away and say, boot, boot. Boot means ghost. Yes, ghost. Then the doctor said and came and said, you must eat sugar. Sugar? Very unhealthy. No, for jaundice it is very healthy. And you eat it 2 kg a day. And then when you taste it as sweet, the jaundice has been driven out of the body. Then you can stop. So I did every day 2 kg of sugar. I don't know how I survived. I must have sound like in the blood from all the sugar crystals. And then one day, it was very bitter, I remember. Very bitter. Yes. But then one day was cured and it was all right. So, just like a jaundice patient must take sugar, which he tastes as bitter, in the same way, a person who is covered by the disease of avidya must continue to take the sweet name of Krishna. And when he continues to take, after some time, was so sweet. Haridas Thakur was chanting the whole day and the whole night, and in the morning, when the morning was rising, he was thinking, already the sun is there? I have not yet started to chant? I have not yet started to chant. We sometimes feel, oh, I have to complete 16 rounds. I was so foolish when I took initiation to promise 16 rounds. We have no taste. But my dear devotees, if you continue to chant, then the holy name will become sweet. You must only learn one little secret. You must chant with love. It's called, you must chant with the feeling of sambandha, relationship. We were briefly hinting at this morning. You must feel, there is Krishna. I'm taking his name. But for a hard-hearted heart, which is very much afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, love is another impossible proposition. Because you cannot force love. Is the point clear? When someone loves someone, to say the name of the beloved is very pleasing. Oh, Pujaji. Pujaji is a male name, I hope, or is it? No? Oh.
Pujaji actually is same with respect.
Yeah, but then I have to name the name Puja Gopal. Yeah. I'm saved because I'm in the stress. I cannot. Oh, Puja Gopal, Puja Ji Gopal. When you say with love, it's different than Gopal, come here. Kinkara, you were shocked. Yeah? There is a difference when I call with love and when I call without love. But to have love for Krishna is sometimes difficult. You cannot force love. You cannot tell your heart, now love Krishna, or now love this person. It doesn't work. But you can do something to get love. you can develop what is called the seed of love. Krishna! Baby! And the seed of love is what? Difficult. I know it's a very difficult question. A relationship with Krishna. What is the seed of love?
Serving.
Very good answer. Attraction. I would say attention. And attention is something you can bring about on your own. You can force your mind. Foolish mind. Don't go somewhere else. Now come back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare shopping list, Hare shopping list, shopping list, shopping list, Hare Hare. Hare shopping list, Hare shopping list, shopping list, shopping list, Hare. Foolish mind, you think of the shopping list? You are inattentive. All of you were chanting, but I was thinking of my shopping list. Uni ball pen. Yes, and some barley juice. I want to shop in Dubai. But I can call my mind back. Don't think of the shopping list of pens and juices. Think of Krishna. Okay, come back. Yata yata nashalati. Wherever the mind goes, bring the mind back. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare.
My dear devotees, I can hear you are chanting automatic. Full attention means really you bring the mind into the sound. The sound is in your mind and the mind is into your sound. You have to see it a little bit like entering with your mind into the stream of the holy name. And I want to do this one time by purposefully chanting very slow with you. We will make an exercise in chanting now. Pair of cattle, Sunny. I will chant now one time without you. You will just listen. And when I give this sign, we will chant all together. And when we chant all together, we will try to bring our mind into the sound as if we enter a stream. I'm aware that you cannot sit down because it is very you please also try to just relax your mind. Oh, Mataji, you can come. Door is also there. Yes. It is all right. You can remain standing if you feel more comfortable like this. So please sit properly and in a relaxed way. Also, Bajas, please sit properly. Close your eyes. And please only listen. For the moment, you please just breathe. Breathe in deeply. And breathe out very deeply. And focus your attention only on your breath. When you breathe in, you will naturally feel that your shoulders rise a little. When you breathe out, you will feel that your body begins to come a little closer to the ground. Only watch your breath as it goes in and out. And now just listen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Continue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Thank you.